we all know this Mishnah. Everybody knows it. You've heard it hundreds of times in your life. You've probably heard it hundreds of times just on Lag BaOmer alone. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, happy are you, Bnei Yisrael, Lifnei Miyata Metarin, who are you Metar in front of me, Metar Eskam, and who is Metar you? Avichem Sheba Shemayim, you know who is Metar you? Your Father in Heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemar Zorakti Aleichem Ayin Tehorin, I'm going to sprinkle down upon you pure waters, Utahartim, you'll become Tor, Ba'omer Mikva Yisrael Hashem, and there's another pasuk that a mikvah of Bnei Yisrael is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ma mikvah metar tzmeim, af a Kadosh Baruch Hu metar tzol. That just like a mikvah is metar people that are tzmei, so to a Kadosh Baruch Hu is metar Bnei Yisrael. It's an unbelievable line. It's an unbelievable mission in and of itself. The kedusha of Yom Kippur is literally unfathomable. It's unfathomable. The day itself destroys our chatayim. Everything we do, anything we've done during the year, it burns away everything just because it's a day. Just because it is a day. All you have to do is show up and want it to happen. That's all you have to do. Just show up to the party. And once you show up to the party, everything's good. See, I thought that we don't hold the way that Christians do. That you can go into a little box and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Right? And get an automatic forgiveness. But apparently we do. We believe in something like it. We believe that as long as you go in and you say something, you're good enough.
So what's the purpose of davening harder or davening?
There could be a terrible... I might be talking about that. There could be a terrible sin. There could be a terrible sin that we're constantly doing. Every single day. Every single day. A sin that you can't stay away from no matter what we do. A terrible thing that we're doing constantly. We know we have to be better with it and we just can't get out of it. You have no idea how to get out of it. We have no shaitas. We don't even have a plan. We don't even have an idea of how to make a plan to be able to keep ourselves out of it. We have no idea. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu promises the following. You go into Yom Kippur. You walk into Yom Kippur and you daven to me and I'll forgive completely. I'll forgive it. Now, how in the world does that work? How in the world can that be true? How can it be true? Mikvah Yisrael Hashem, you dip into the mikvah and you become tavor. That means you get yourself close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he forgives you. How in the world could such a thing be true? It's like anything in life. It is unbelievably simple, yet it's extremely difficult to do. Here's the deal. You have to put yourself in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. You have to say, Hashem, you already decided, we already decided, that it's your world. We did that in Rosh Hashanah. You're the Melech, and we are your subjects. We're done with that. We know that you're the king. We know that you're in charge. We know that you can do whatever you want. You have whatever you wish, that's what's going to happen. We cannot change your mind. We're not planning on changing your mind. That's not what we're here for. But we know that you have the ability to give a pardon. We know that you are the only source of Yeshua, a true salvation. You know what a salvation is? A salvation is you're sitting in a river that's flowing so fast there's no way for you to swim, and it's taking you over, right over, which you are going to die. There is no question you are going to die. And there is no one who can help you. And there is one person who's standing there at the very, very edge with a stick. And he does this all the time. He stands there waiting for people to come, and he grabs the guy and he pulls him out. And you know, he's the only person. And he's the person that the night before you slapped him in the face, and you told him that he was a fool. That's what you do. And that guy is standing right there, and he sees you, and you see him, you make eye contact. And we know he's the only person who's able to give us a Yeshua. We have to go into Yom Kippur happy. You know why we have to go into Yom Kippur happy? Our Father cares enough to give us a day where we can go back to Him and say, I messed up. You know what the difference is? If the guy at the edge and you slapped him in the face, if it's your Father, he's still going to pull you in. If he's some random guy, he'll let you drown. He'll let you go right overboard. The idea is we're putting ourselves into His hands, we're asking for help, knowing that you are the only one who can do this for us. I cannot do this. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you say to me, if somebody would say to me right now, we're going to make up Pesach Halacha, you cannot have a phone for the rest of your life. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. Honestly, do you know how often I text? You guys?
No.
How often per day? That is a good call. Do you know how often it's on me at all times? How many times it would have to be? I don't know if I'd be able to do it. Let's say having a phone is a chet, and it's as close as you can get to it nowadays. Let's say that it's a chet in of itself, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu paskin, right? Not Kaddish Baruch Hu paskin, meaning the Gedolim would paskin, it is usher to have a phone, and everybody's in agreement. There's no like Machlokas America and Eretz Yisrael in this one. Everybody's in agreement. You cannot have a phone. You can't have a phone. You go to any posik, every posik's like, no, unless they're reform. Everybody is like, they're all the same. And everybody says, agreed. There's no way for you to have a phone. Let's say that there was no such thing as a regular phone anymore. They didn't exist. They became embedded chips in your hands, in which automatically you're going to pick up just by lieu of having it in your hand. So it becomes a chip that's so embedded in, there's nothing you can do. Well, then you can't do it. You won't be able to do it. What are you going to do? So you're going to have major problems. What are you going to do when it comes to stuff like that? I don't know if there are people that are going to be able to, that are people that are going to be there. So what's pshat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are going to be taking care of me. And I know it'll all be good. You'll take care of me. You'll make sure that it's all going to be okay. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I've done things that I really shouldn't do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're here. And I'm happy. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? I'm so happy because I'm looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I'm saying, I literally have no chance. There is nothing I can do on my own. I'm going to mess it up. But you're here. You're my dad. You're standing right there. You're right at the end. Here's the key. The key is, number one, never give up hope that you can make yourself better. That's number one. That's the first thing beyond anything. Number two, never look back at your sins with a sense of glory and accomplishment and say, look what I was able to do. Look at what I did before. Look at your sins as what they are, as what they really are. That they were chatayim, and I shouldn't have done them. I shouldn't have done them. Even in the sense of, well, it made me into the person that I am today. That's true, it made you into the person that you are today. You would be better if you didn't do that. You would be a better, greater person in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how that's possible by me, but it's possible by most people, right? You'd be a better person if you take away that hate, and that's why you have to look at it. Never have that. And number three, think of how much better you are because you are His child and you are living under God's protection. You accepted Him as a king, you accepted Him as your father, and you accepted Him to be the one that's in charge. You always have to continue to work on yourself. But you have to try to think to yourself, I want to make myself into another person, a brand new person, something totally different. Rav Volvi brings down the Sefer Beis Elokim by the Ma'abit. Ma'abit was in late Rish and early Akron. It makes us feel like $1 million, like $1 million, even on Yom Kippur. Okay? Two lines, two things that you have to know. Number one, tefillin and tzitzis are not like tshuva. And tefillin and tzitzis, let's say you have a pair of tefillin and you're missing one of the parshios. You're missing the Hayim Shemoah. So is that a kosher pair of tefillin?
No.
Let's say you wore it for 10 years, every single day for davening. You get nothing, right?
No.
Scariest thing in the world. My father got a brand new pair of tefillin, paid a lot of money for it, right? And got it checked 7 years later. Sofer opened it up. Said, you're literally missing seven words from one parsha inside here. He paid a lot of money for it. So he ran up to the sofer who sold it to him, right? And he said to the sofer, he's like, what did you do? What did you do? I wore these tefillin for 7 years. You messed up. And he said, I guess I messed up. I had 7 years of tefillos without tefillin. I didn't wear tefillin for that many years because of you. It wasn't like they got rubbed out. They weren't there in the first place. That's a true mess up. So tefillin, there's nothing. There's nothing you can do. You take off your tzitzis and you decide one day I'm not wearing tzitzis. There's no mitzvah tzitzis. In fact, if you have a pair of tzitzis and everything's there, but one corner is missing the pair of tzitzis, it's for whatever reason, it was cut off or whatever it is, you can't even wear those tzitzis. You're over on an aveira by wearing those tzitzis. Says Ma'abit, tshuva is totally different. You can do tshuva in a terrible fashion, and it still works. Not tremendously. But it works. It's still the mitzvah of tshuva. See, we know that tshuva is made up of at least two different parts. Let's go with this simple explanation. Get away from the diyukim and the Rambam. There's two real parts to tshuva. There is regret, charata, and there is aziva sachet. Aziva sachet is, I will never do this sin again. Kasha v'nin kabbalah la'asid. But you have regret and just the idea of aziva sachet, I'm never going to do that. I'm not going to bring up vidu. Okay, those two. Those two are the parts. If I say I regret something completely, but I know I'm going to do the sin again, I regret doing it, but I know it's going to happen again. I did tshuva. Is that the best tshuva in the world? No. It's pretty bad. But I just did tshuva. I did tshuva, so it works for something. Something works. If I say, I'm never going to do it again, but man, that was awesome. Man, that was awesome. And I do not regret a single thing that I did there. I'm ozeh b'chet. But I look at it and I say, that was unbelievable. I wish I could do it again. But I'm not going to. It's still tshuva. It's not like tzitzis. It's not like filling. It's not like any other mitzvah. You do a little bit of it, that's good enough. Nah, shouldn't say good enough. That's good. It's good. It's a start. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. Tshuva is so powerful. This Kaddish of the Ma'abid, tshuva is so powerful. It allows you to take it in steps. You don't have to do it all at once, so to speak. You can start off with one and then go to the other. You could end up saying to yourself, I can't do it all today. I can do it tomorrow. I'm going to work on myself little by little. You want to stop yourself from saying Lashon Hara? You tell yourself from now on, I'm never going to speak for the rest of my life. You're going to fail. Miserably. And it's going to be a great failure. This is going to be one of the greatest failures I've ever seen in my life. You want to say, I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara. I'm going to speak, and I'm only going to speak out Divrei Torah. That is not going to last 12 minutes. 12 minutes is not going to last. But if you want to build your way up to it, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara for 15 minutes. For 15 minutes, I'm going to make sure they don't speak Lashon Hara. I'll decide when those 15 minutes are during the day. You're going to put it on your phone, and you're going to have it on there, if you can have a phone, right? And you're going to have it, and you're going to say to yourself, here's my 15 minutes, and you go through. That's the way to do it. But you're not getting rid of it. You're not getting rid of Lashon Hara. You're still going to speak Lashon Hara, but there's no other way for us to do it. We have to build our way up. As a side note, this is the Machlokas Yosef and Yehuda. You know the whole Machlokas Yosef and Yehuda when they went to grab Binyamin HaTzadik, and they were both fighting over Binyamin when Yehuda had him inside the, when Yosef had him inside the palace, and Yehuda breaks down the door. The whole Machlokas is how to do tshuva. Yosef is an extremist. Yosef HaTzadik, think about his life. He's the king of the brothers, then he's thrown in a pit. He's the king of all the people in jail, and then he's thrown into jail. Right? And then he becomes the king of Mitzrayim. There's no like in between when it comes to Yosef. There's no like, yeah, he was a nice businessman. It wasn't like that. He's either the greatest of the great or the worst of the worst. In the worst positions or the greatest position. He can't be that guy. Yehuda is the exact opposite. Yehuda does a chetz, and he builds his way up slowly. Slowly but surely he brings himself back. That's shot in the Gemara in Makos. You guys know about Makos? Makos Dav Yud. When it mentions Yehuda, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Yehuda to get back into the Gevra. What does it say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu davens. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let the limbs come back into place. The limbs go back into place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow him to go up to Yeshiva Shalmaila. Goes to Yeshiva Shalmaila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow him to have a shakla v'tariyah with the different people there. Allow him to have a libet hilchasa, shmeitz a libet hilchasa. And it all goes through. Little by little by little. Step by step by step. Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Yehuda to be able to go through. Yehuda wins. Yehuda grabs Binyamin. Yehuda's Malchus is the Ikar Malchus. There's a difference between Yehuda's Malchus and the way that Yosef works. Yehuda works his way slowly up. We know there are a lot of things that you clap out hate for in Yom Kippur. And we know that as soon as Yom Kippur ends, you're going to go right back to them. It's going to take you just about a minute to say bench on Motzi Yom Kippur. You could think on Yom Kippur, you could daven your Shema Esrei for 37 minutes. 37 minutes and say every single word, Baruch Ato Hashem, that you shouldn't do, Elokeinu Melech Olam, and you go through, right? And we know that on Motzi Yom Kippur, you're going to get over there, and you're going to wash, and you're going to be like, Baruch Ato Hashem. And you get to the bread, I know the benching is going to be gishmak. Benching. If you remember to bench, it's going to be gishmak. When everybody gets up and you're just like, hey, benching. And you're just like, oh, I still get a build. Right? There is no way you're going to be able to get around Gaiva. Me, I will not be able to get around Gaiva. Okay? There's no way. If I say that I am going to be on time for davening every single day for the upcoming year, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's no way I'm going to be able to do it. So maybe it's too difficult. Maybe you shouldn't do anything at all. Maybe if I know that I'm not going to be able to do it, maybe there's no point to be able to do anything. Here's the second side of the Ma'abit. Right? maybe it sounds pretty hypocritical. Maybe it's even worse. On Yom Kippur, I do Al Chay that I get up late for davening, and then I do it right afterwards. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You're right. Now that you feel bad about it, that you say you're not going to do it again, fine, you're forgiven completely. And the next morning, I get up late for davening. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what in the world? You just told me you weren't going to do it. Okay, I'm giving you a little bit of an example. It's much worse when I go up to the dorm and I wake somebody up and the guy says, I'm getting up right now. And then they don't get up right now and they don't come down. It's much worse. It's better if I don't go up, right? If the guy doesn't say anything at all, if the guy would tell me, I'm not getting up today. So the little Peggy Ann McKay, right? If she goes ahead and does that, right? Does anybody know where that's from?
Edward.
Shel Silverstein, where the walk sidewalk. Okay. Anyway, regardless, if the guy says to me, "I'm not getting up today," right? And at least I don't have any tinnitus on him later on. You said you were getting up. No, I said I wasn't getting up. Oh, that's right. I have no tinnitus. But if the guy says I'm getting up and then doesn't get up, that's a slap in the face. You just told me you were getting up, and now you're not getting up. So why shouldn't it be that way? It should be the exact opposite, right? I should be able to say to the person, "What's wrong with you?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say to the person, what in the world is going on? You just accept your fate, know that you're hopeless, know that you're going to Gehenna for something, and be okay with it. That should be at the end of the day. What else am I going to do? It's probably better if I don't do anything at all. Says the Mabit, if you do tshuva, even if you know that it's going to happen again, but you say to yourself, I don't want it to happen again. I don't want it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what to do to stop it. So it's in your hands. You are in charge. You help me. I'm giving you the ability to help me. I'm giving you the ability to stop me from doing it. If you do that, says the Mabit, it's over. Everything's over. Meaning, the chait is gone. And you start fresh as a zero the next morning. So even if you go back to it, you didn't go back to it. You did it for the very first time. Do you understand, says the Mabit? You know you're going to do it. But you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to. And on Yom Kippur, you feel that. On Yom Kippur, you say, I don't want to get up late for davening. I don't. I really, really don't. And you mean it. You absolutely mean it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me siyata d'shmaya that won't happen ever again. It's gone. The chait is gone.
What happens if you die right after Ma'ariv?
Don't. Don't.
What did you do?
Then I'll talk to you when you're in Shemayim.
No, Rebbe, you always hear this story.
Don't.
Rebbe, what about the people that did?
I don't know. I'll ask when I get up there. I'll tell you after 120. Doesn't matter. That's not our life. That's not our world.
I don't know. One of the persons holding that.
Uh-huh. I can't tell. I tell you what, because I'll say,
we can learn.
It doesn't matter. I can make a lot of Diyukim. I can tell you the answer for according to the different Maimari Chazal. I'm just telling you, don't. And then you won't have to worry about that. You live the rest of your life. You'll change yourself around.
What? The longer you live, the more mitzvos you get.
I think that's an obvious answer.
Please, be good, though.
The idea is that Yom Kippur turns you into a different person. You are not ninth Tishrei guy. You are not that guy. You're no longer that guy. You are a brand new person. You have a brand new persona. You are a brand new zero in the sin column. There's nothing left. You are starting over, and that's the power of the day for those who treat it wisely and completely. Do you understand? This is the greatest day in the history of the world, and it happens every year. You literally start fresh, all brand new, as if there's nothing there, as long as you have it. Never give up hope. Never think to yourself that there's no chance. You are great. You are going to continue to be great. You're going to be the greatest person in the world. There is going to be a time when you are on level zero with only mitzvos and no averos. And you can continue that, even though the reality is that we're going to have an aver or two. Know that it's a possibility. It's a possibility. And you know what that helps? It helps you try to learn how to do tshuva every single day of your life. Every single day of your life. To have to say to yourself, granted, I don't have Yom Kippur, but if tshuva works that way, then why can't I do tshuva every single day and make myself better and make myself into that guy with zero every single morning? So that I go to sleep and really everything's fine. Everything works out well.
How is this allowed? How is this not?
How is a mikvah good enough to be able to meet a Tara person who just touched a dead guy? How is that possible? Not a dead guy. A dead guy won't work. That's going to be paradum ashes. Somebody touches a dead shark, touches an avela. How does a mikvah work? You dunk yourself in, surround yourself with water, and you're done. You dunk yourself in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world. You say, I'm surrounding myself with a blanket of God. He's protecting me and taking care of me. It doesn't make any sense. It just works. That's the concept. That's the idea.
But it seems like the opposite of the purpose of the world. I mean, you're just being allowed to get away with all of these things.
I don't think you walk into the thinking that you're going to do that.
You sewer and count. There is no way to get around things without some type of retribution for what you've done. There's no question about that. But your tshuva can be used as a kapara. You're fasting all day. That's not easy. You're davening all day. That's not easy. You're sitting there and you're blaming yourself. You feel like a piece of garbage for the fact that you just did something. That's Yisurin. You can create your own Yisurin to take away your own Chatayim. You just have to do it. Don't let it happen on its own. You have to do it.
How do you do Yisurin?
Do it yourself. You fast a little bit. You take away something that you want. You work on yourself.
Yisurin requires 10 days of fasting. Or do you want?
Do more. Sometimes Yom Kippur is good enough, because again, the day of Yom Kippur has that ability. You can work on it even more.
What about, you said that it's enough that even if you know you're going to do it over again, as long as you go and you say, I don't want to, I know I am, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But what about if you know you shouldn't and don't want to, but at the same time do like, for example, like a cheeseburger?
I'm going
to
add on one line. I'm going to add on one line of the Gemara in Yuma. Okay? The line in Yuma is that a person cannot go into it saying, I'm going to do this chait. I'll announce that I do tshuva for it. That tshuva does not work. A guy goes into a chait and says, I'm doing this chait and I'm going to do tshuva for it later. That tshuva does not work whatsoever. So a person can't go into the chait thinking he's going to do tshuva later. But you can do tshuva even though you might do the Avera later.
But we all know we're going to do tshuva. I'm saying, like, any Averas we did in the past month, we all know Yom Kippur is coming up. We all know we're going to do tshuva. Not necessarily the thing that thought out of your mind, though.
Mm-hmm. Depends on what you're doing. Is that in the right there, and that's part of the reason why I'm doing it, because no. It doesn't matter, it's going to be erased anyway?
No.
Or you're doing it because you fell prey to your own taivas and your own Yetzer Hara, but you really don't want to do it. You would do anything to take it away from you. That's the difference, and that's what the Gemara in Yuma is talking about when it says that, right, in the last parak. You got to be very careful with stuff like that, but again, it's a scary mabit, but that's the basic idea of what it is. Just, you have to go into it serious. And, by the way, as a side note, there's no guarantee that you're going to do tshuva if a person ends up doing that. If a person ends up sinning again and again and again, it's likely that he's not going to think of it as a chait and won't do tshuva properly, won't do the kapara properly, and when Yom Kippur comes, somehow a Kadosh Baruch Hu made him forget that he ever did it in the first place. And all of a sudden, Yom Kippur's there, and he's just there. Yeah, think about it. You do a chait on the 11th of Tishrei. You think you're going to remember that next Yom Kippur?
Oh, I didn't know anything is that when you say Hashem Elohim, it's like a title, which some categories of each other.
Yeah, you think you're going to remember what you did on the 11th of Tishrei? No way.
I didn't know any words. One time,
I decided I was going to write down every chait that I did. I would take it, and I started on the 11th of Tishrei, and I went down, and I took a little notebook, right, and I started writing down, like, everything where I went through the day, and I realized, oh, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I did that wrong. After the first day, when I had filled up 2 pages of my notebook, I said, I feel like a piece of garbage, I can't do this. And I stopped.
I
ended on the 11th of Tishrei. And I was really good. I was really good. Really, really good. Nonetheless, you can't. You forget. You're going to forget. You're going to forget hundreds and hundreds of things. You're going to think to yourself, I went to Chakras most of the year. But if you add up all the minutes of where Chakras actually happened and the amount of minutes that you were actually there davening, you'll realize you went to 2 Chakrases. That's what's going to end up happening. You're going to look at it and like, but I went to Chakras every day. Well, sort of.
So Yom Kippur, will Yom Kippur take away the others you can't even remember?
It depends. You have to go in saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes you're Zilka to see after the Shmaya, and yes, it does. Sometimes, no.
I mean, when I see Hashem Begadim, it's like categories.
Yeah.
So you think, like, whatever I did in this category, whatever I did in this category.
Yeah.
Is it good that I don't, like,
you can do it.
A list of, like, specific things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I always use Rabitzi, he does, list of all the Averis, and then I check them off before Yom Tov. It's so funny, because it ends up being that I never get to knock off any of them. a lot of them are general also. Like I was pogging in the 365 limbs, the 365 sinews that correspond to the 365 locuses. It's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a difficult one to be able to get around. Like I was pogging. But there are certain things that you're able to take off as years go by, and you work on yourself. You know, I have a tremendous advantage to every single one of you because I've been working on myself for longer. That's it. At the end of the day, if Mashiach would come tomorrow, I'm lucky because I'm the age of 36 and you guys are under the age of 25. So therefore, because of that, I've been working on it for longer, so I have more of an ability. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes that into account also. That happens to be you're all under 25. Yeah. I'm saying, like, that's a tremendous advantage. Somebody who's 60 has a bigger advantage over me. Right? You just have to think that way. Everything is taken into account. Now you just have to do something about it. You have to actually do tshuva and feel better about yourself and say to yourself, not again. Just go ahead, guys.